is with me tonight. 50 years of marriage. And coming October, we just appreciate the love of God and having His hand on our family and our children. And I have two grandchildren now that are preaching the gospel. There are two brothers, Cooper and Coy, are preaching, going to the Lincoln Church of God in West Virginia. Now that's a delight, knowing your grandkids are preaching the gospel. Good as Pastor said, the Williams family, we just become, had a revival with them recently, just become really connected. Thank you all for coming tonight. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Let us all stand to this evening and go to the word of the Lord. You're going to enjoy, I know they've been here before, but I had the privilege of pastoring the Yates family for many years. And Sister Kim, she was my choir director. And I know some of you, if you haven't heard the Yates family, you're for a blessing Sunday morning. These are true, wonderful people of God. And I know they'll bless your heart. Thank you, Brother Hobbs, for this opportunity. And I'm going to share my heart the next couple of nights. The Lord just touches in a special way. I want to go to the book of Ecclesiastes tonight. Then I'll be going to the book of Ezra and the book of Haggai. But there's a scripture that really moved my heart studying this week and some in the last week. And I believe God's going to speak to us tonight, but from Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10. Say not thou what is the cause that the former days were better than these, for thou doest not inquire wisely concerning this. I want to read that once again. Say not thou what is the cause that the former days were better than these, for thou doest not inquire wisely concerning this. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you tonight, Lord, and I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I'm here on assignment, Lord, from you. And I ask God tonight that you'll touch the hearts of the people, Lord, to hear. And Lord, that I will, Lord, be your voice and your heart. And God, touch us tonight, Lord, in the next few moments. And Lord, the songs has been sang. Lord, exhortation has been given. And Lord, we're looking at the altar here in a few moments. And I pray, God, that we'll have response in the altar. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Give the Lord praise as you're being seated tonight. I'm going over to the book of Ezra. And we look at Ezra chapter 3 and verses 10 through. I'll go ahead and read that in your seating. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set priests in their apparel with trumpets, and Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, and praise to the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. They sang together by chorus and praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good. His mercy endure forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Many of the priests and Levites and chiefs and fathers who were ancient men that had been seeing the first house when the foundation of the house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. The people could not discern the noise of the shout for joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud voice, and the noise was heard afar off. We look at this tonight. Israel refused to abandon their idols and worship, and God were they were chastened by God and taken into captivity for 70 years, the word of the Lord tells us. Nebuchadnezzar completely destroyed Jerusalem and the temple and the furniture and carried out all the treasure of the temple. God always moved in the temple. God always brought the fire, but Nebuchadnezzar knew that the answer to God's people was the altar. Knew that the answer to God's people was prayer, and knew that God lit the fire. And the Bible said he come in and destroyed everything in the temple. Israel lived in captivity, no temple, no feast, and no sacrifices. Cyrus, the Persian, overthrew the Babylonians. 50,000 Jews left and returned to Palestine. 3 years later, the foundation of the new temple was built. There was great joy. I want to tell you this evening, I give God praise, but there's joy in the house. Amen. There's joy in the kingdom of God. And I give him praise tonight. I'm glad tonight that Jesus is the foundation. Can you say amen? I give him praise tonight. We find there was great joy. The Bible said they wept with a loud voice. Others that day could not rejoice. What they remembered, their glory of God. There was a generation, I'll call them my generation. Amen. I'm right behind Brother Hobbs in age, not too far behind him, maybe a year or so. But our generation, we seen they remember the glory of God. I think about those days that God moved as a child and growing up in camp meetings in Kentucky, and the days that, like when Brother Hobbs came to our church as a young evangelist in Parksville, the glory of God moved and people were shaken and moved by the Lord, and people had a desire, amen, to live holy and right. When the temple was built, magnificent, costly, they remembered the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat in the old temple. They remembered within the Ark was the tablet containing the law of God. But in this new temple, the Ark wasn't there. And the Bible said that they, some of them was weeping. What they realized, Haggai tells us in 2 and 3, the new temple will never be the same. Who is left among us, it said, that thou saw the house in her first glory. And how do you see it now? And it is with your eyes in comparison of nothing. There was a crowd there in this story. They could see smaller than what they had back in the days of earlier times. Like us today, they didn't have the money we find now as it did before. The Bible said the ark was gone, and meaning the mercy seat was gone, and the glory had left. God, we need your glory in the church today. Can somebody say amen? I'm not talking about the glory of men. I'm not talking about personalities. I'm talking about we need the glory of God. Hallelujah. I've got to have his glory. I want to wake up in the mornings and praise God and feel his glory. I want to walk outside and feel his glory. Driving to church from Ashland, Kentucky, I want his glory to walk with me and my wife, and I pray at mornings and every morning and read the Bible. We talk about before we get there, Lord, you show up before we ever get to where we are, because it's your glory that we need. Can somebody give the Lord praise in this house? We need the glory of God. I feel his presence. And we see that they could see smaller. The ark was gone. They were, many of us who remember the glory of the days before, when God's word was in the house, was highly regarded by all, when fear was in the community about the church, and when the pulpit and the pew were filled with people, amen, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Do you remember the times when at camp meeting people wouldn't leave until they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Do you remember the times growing up in the church when people, they would not leave until they received what they had of the Lord? And I tell you, church, we still need God to touch us the same way. We still need his glory and his touch. Amen. When souls are saved and people rejoicing in victorious shouts, those who remember these days of old. The Bible tells us, I believe it in 2 Chronicles. I read that in your hearing tonight in 7:1-3, it says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices, and the glory filled the house. And the priest could not enter in the house for the Lord, because the glory had filled the house of the Lord. When all the children of Israel saw that the fire came down, the glory of the Lord was upon the house, they bowed themselves to the faces, saying, his mercy endure forever. His mercy endure forever. His mercy endure forever. Praise God. I want to say this evening, praise God, his glory is as real as it always has been. I give God praise because there's power in the name of Jesus. Jesus. There's power in the word of the Lord. There's power, amen, in the words of the Lord, because demons flee in the name of Jesus. Cancers are healed by the name of Jesus. Marriages are restored by the name of Jesus. Amen. Drug addicts are delivered by the name of Jesus. Amen. Financial needs are made by the name of Jesus. Amen. Demons tremble at his name. I give the Lord praise in this house tonight. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's Alpha and Omega. He's everything, praise God. He's my life. He's my strength. He's my joy, praise God. He is my King of kings and Lord of lords. I'm glad I know him tonight as Savior. He's my Savior. I'm just a servant. All I am, Brother Hobbs, is a foot washer. That's all I am, praise God. I'm just a foot washer. That's all I am. I'm a servant to the King. It was he that saved me. I'm his servant. It was he that cleansed me. I'm his servant. It was he that called me. I'm his servant. He was he that chose me. I'm his servant. He was he that raised me up. I am his servant. That's all I am. Just a servant of Jesus Christ. I appreciate the church of God. I appreciate the title that they put on me as national evangelist. That don't mean nothing to me. What means to me more than anything is Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's my Savior. Somebody give him praise in this house. Now look at the modern church with a broken heart. The gifts of the present. The Bible says in Ezra chapter 3, verse 4, they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks to the Lord because he's good. Then the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation had been laid. So there were more people in this crowd who did not remember the first temple. Listen to me closely. They had no idea what it looked like on the glory they had been in. Amen. There's a generation possibly sitting here tonight. Amen. That has no clue what I'm talking about. The glory days of the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and 80s and the 90s. Has no clue about some of those things. Amen. Son, there's a generation that's not seen some of the things we have seen in our past in the church. And I still give God praise for it. I'm not ashamed. If the Lord wants to roll me in this church tonight, I'm not ashamed to roll in the floor. It makes no difference to me. I'm not ashamed of it. If the Lord wanted me to crawl on my knees around this church tonight, I'd crawl on my knees. Now, am I going to get down and do it in the flesh? No, I ain't going to. But if God moved on me tonight, it wouldn't bother me at all. Amen. Because it's still God. And I give him praise. But there's a generation that has no idea what it looked like or the glory they had been in. Only thing they remember, I love what I'm about to say. There's a generation that's not been raised like Brother Hobbs and I and some of you. But they've been washed in this new generation. They've been cleansed in this new generation. They have received new birth in this regeneration. Amen. Their hair may not look like my hair. Amen. They may not look like and dress like I dress. Amen. But I want to tell you, they know they've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They know they have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. They know they've been washed by his power. Oh, I think about the generation today. And I appreciate these young people here tonight. And believe me, young people, you ought to be thankful you wasn't raised up in the 60s. Because then were the hippie days. They were the days that they had long, long, long hair and wouldn't hardly ever wash it. Had beads around their neck and had pants on looked like a flower store. Some of y'all were there. Bell bottoms, white belts. I mean, they wore pants that looked like they'd come out of a florist and had vans all painted up with flowers and had wild music going. You could hear my mile down the road. I'm glad you weren't raised up in that generation. Amen. We talk about this generation. I want to tell you, oh, I give God praise because there's a generation that hasn't seen the glory of God like I've seen it. But that don't mean God has not changed. He's not changed. He's still God. He's still moving. He's still moving. He's still setting free. He's still changing lives. But I want to give God praise. They know they've been in captivity. The Bible says here that they've been in captivity for all these years. But they were excited because they no longer were in captivity. They were excited.
society because they was no longer in bondage. Do we have anybody in this house that free in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we have anybody that wants to give God praise because you're free, free, free by the blood of Jesus Christ? Don't you thank God today that you're saved, praise God, sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ? Somebody praise him in this house. They knew God brought them from bondage in Ezra. They could not remember the first temple, but they were thankful for what they had. What they realized, these young people didn't know about the old days. Now, I appreciate the old days, but I am thankful tonight that Brother Hobbs don't have to put coal in the stove. Amen? I'm thankful tonight that we don't have to raise the windows and put 15 fans in the windows. Amen? I'm thankful tonight. Amen. Brother Hobbs preached to where I was raised, and it's the outhouses are still there, grown up in bushes. I'm thankful that if you have to go to the restroom, you don't have to go to an outhouse where spiders and bugs and everything else. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm thankful we don't go back to those days. But what they realize, these young people didn't know in the old days, that they see a new day and embrace it. They are excited about what God is doing today. I want to tell somebody, I'm going to get to the Ecclesiastes scripture in a moment, but I'm thankful for what God is doing in 2026, praise God. I said I'm thankful for what God's doing in 2026. He's still God, praise God. People are still being saved. People are still being delivered. People are still being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. People are still being delivered by the power of God. People still rejoicing, praise God. God's got a remnant, praise God. He'll always have a remnant, praise God. God's got a number that no man can number. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord, church. So the point is, we can get caught up in the past. Listen to me closely. That we miss what God's doing now. Then there were others who were willing to embrace the newest trends. They don't want what God did in the past. Amen? They want what God's doing right now. Somebody help me in this house. They want what God's doing right now. Did you know he's a now God? Right now. Somebody say he's a now God. Right now, he's going, hallelujah. Right now, he's in this house. How you know? I brought him with me. Did you? Oh, praise God. I said, he's in this house, praise God. He wants to touch somebody. He wants to reach out to somebody. He wants to bless somebody. He wants to renew somebody. He wants to heal somebody. He's here in the house. Somebody praise his holy name. Hallelujah. So God's power's not changed. Past is gone, yes. Let's get a hold of God today. Now, does that mean that I have to change to fit in? No. Now, I'm not going to be up here wearing skinny jeans and Fruit of Loom t-shirt. I could, but that ain't me. Amen? Boy, you're getting quiet in here. And we sit back, and my generation, we sit back and say, I've said this in revival before, we get back and say, we go to camp meeting. Boy, the church ain't what it used to be. We say this before preaching ever starts. All of us old time preachers get back, the church ain't what it used to be. Oh no, it ain't what it used to be. Who told you that? Who told you that? I said, who told you that? That's gossip of the devil. The church has not changed. People's changed. The church is still holy. The church is still righteous. The church is still pure. It's still sanctified. It's still filled with the Holy Ghost. Ghost. It still has the gifts of the Spirit operating. It still has the fruit of the Spirit. The church has not changed. We just sit back and look at the new generation and say, look, they don't know what they're doing. Well, you get with the program. God's not changed. Just worship God like He is. Amen. And you'll find it's going to be okay. There's a lot of things I don't like. I mean, I wouldn't have liked seeing John the Baptist preach either. That would have been a terrible sight. But as long as they preach the truth and it's anointed. Does that mean we need a new kind of Bible? No. Does that mean we need to have to put on old hymn books away? No. Replace preaching with drama? No. Lower our standards to accommodate the world? We are to change the culture. The culture is not to change the church. I said, somebody help me. We are to change the culture. The culture, praise God, has changed me in the church. I'm not going to allow the Nebuchadnezzar culture to bind me down. I'm going to stand up for truth, preach it right, love God, stand for righteousness and purity and holy. What got my mama to heaven in 2018, I'm going to hang on to it. What got my daddy to heaven in 1997, I'm going to hang on to it. What got Apostle Paul there? I'm going to hang on to it because God has not changed. Oh, somebody exalt His name. Woo! You see, does that mean we need to be seeker friendly? No, 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 no. What does it mean when we need to look at what does it mean when we need to look at how we were before? That scripture in Ecclesiastes, D.D., I'm going to use, I ain't going to tell you the translation, but I'm going to give you some translations for it. That scripture just jumped out to me, Pastor. And it says in the King James, as we read, don't say why were the former days better than these, for it is not wise of you to ask. Another translation says, don't always be asking where are the good old days. Wise folks don't ask questions like that. Amen. This verse addresses the human tendency to idolize the past and complain about the present. Like we know how in our older generation, praise God again, Focus on the present. Wisdom dictates accepting the circumstances you're placed in today. So instead of wasting emotional energy longing for an unchangeable past, this verse encourages us to focus on what God is doing right now in 2026. I want to tell you, I sometimes can get stuck in the old days, but I refuse to get stuck in the old days. Hallelujah. I've given God praise for my heritage. I give God praise for the way I was raised. I'll not compromise the way I was raised. Amen. My kids do things different than I did. My son pastors Danville Great Growing Church. He's got people in that church from all cultures of people. He's got people. He's got black people. He's got white people. He's got Hispanic people. He's got rich people. He's got doctors and lawyers. They just keep coming. Amen. He's got the lights down. He's got stage lights. He's got all this stuff. Amen. He asked me, he said, what do you think about it? I said, ain't nothing wrong with changing methods. Just keep preaching the truth of Jesus Christ. Don't stop changing. Don't stop preaching. They come in there looking like everything else. Amen. Look like they come off the streets. It don't make no difference. We may not like it, but don't get hung up in the past, because there's a time in your life in the 40s and 50s. You didn't look much better. You was different then. But my God, God's not changed. He still is the Lord in the house. He's still righteous. He's still holy, and He's still pure. Somebody exalt His name. So we can get trapped in past and totally miss what God's doing today. Amen. So in Haggai chapter 2 verses 1 through 9, I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to be on screen. These are difficult times for the old and the young. Old were sad because they're not like it. It's not like it was. The old were sad because I wished, the old were saying, I wished they would dress like me. I'm just telling the truth. The old is saying, I wish, I could get deep, but I ain't going to get deep because I had to dig myself out. For both old and young were sad because it didn't look like it was. The young were discouraged by the attitude of the old. Can I preach right here? The young were discouraged. Help me. The young was discouraged by the attitude of the old. Can I just preach right here? All right, Brother Hobbs. Oh, Lord, help me. You see, my generation, I don't care to say, I'm pushing 69 in a few weeks ahead. I'm in. And but my generation, amen, as I said, I give God praise for the way I was raised. And I give God praise for those days at the old tabernacle in Somerset, Kentucky, before we had the new tabernacle camp meetings. And I give God praise for the old barn we had in Winchester, Kentucky. Amen, when the old Carton sister sang in sawdust floors, an old barn we had camp meeting in. I'm telling you, there was some good old days back in those days. They didn't have chicken nuggets on the ground. Honey, they had fried chicken, mashed taters, and green beans, and every cornbread and everything else. Amen. You stay all week long, my mom and I, at the Church of God campgrounds. We put up a tent and slept in a tent for every night at camp meeting, eating bologna sandwiches. Didn't bother us a bit because it was all about the kingdom. It was all about the glory of God. It was all about His presence. It was all about experiencing the glory of God. Ray H. Hughes and Dr. Kahn and all those old guys who get up and preach in the Lord fill the house. But now in 2026, my generation sits down and says, look at them young people. My Lord. What are we going to come to next? Well, I got news for you. You know what it is to praise God before they's ever born. You know what it was to experience the glory of God. Why ain't you praising God like you did back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s? Why ain't you praising God like you knew how to praise God? Why ain't you getting all excited about praising the Lord and glorifying God? Why ain't you getting excited about it? Because you're sitting there and judging a young generation. They don't look like we did. They don't sing like we did. I can't believe he's got them up on a platform. The Bible says, stop complaining about the past. Oh, Lord, help me. Stop complaining about the past. Get a hold of today. Get a hold of right now, praise God. And the Bible says, oh, I feel His presence. When my generation starts worshiping God, when my generation starts getting back to where we know what the glory of God is, amen, we're going to show this generation, amen, sitting here, they may not shout like I shout. They may not move like I move. They may not run like I run. I want to tell you, they're going to know something's happened to Papa. Something's happened to Grandma. Something's happened to Aunt Sally. Something's happened to Uncle John. I ain't never seen them like that before. You know what it's about? It's time for my generation to stand up and say, God, I'm not going to weep because of the old. I'm going to rejoice because of the new generation. Somebody praise Him in this house. So after 15 years, the temple was not completed. Haggai moved forward to get it built, and many of God's saints are discouraged about the church today. Haggai 2 and 4, God says, the temple may not be as great as the first one. Look it in your Bible. But I'm still God. Oh, get a hold of that. Where's your mind at right there? He says, God says the temple may not be as great as the first one, but I'm still God. The thing doesn't look like it did, but God's the same yesterday and forever. Haggai, or Hebrews chapter 13, 5, be patient with such things as you have, for I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. My Lord, I am glad tonight, praise God. Aren't you, my dad first started that little church in the holler before we went in that building. He put up concrete blocks in a little old slab building below it. Brother Hobbs, you don't remember that building, but he had an old slab building with tar paper on it, one room, and he had concrete blocks and he had sawmill lumber. And you didn't want to do this on them seats sliding back and forth. You get a splinter from one side to the other. But it didn't hurt nobody. They had church. It didn't bother nobody. They had church. I am thankful tonight that we got padded pews to sit on. I'm thankful tonight we got this beautiful edifice to worship God in. But can I tell you, I've been to Africa and in the jungle when there was nothing there but the glory of God. I've been to South America 4 different years in the jungles of Guyana when there was nothing there but snakes and lizards and everything else. Amen. They come from miles to have church. I want to tell you, let's give God praise in 2026. I give him praise. God's not changed. He's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I give praise for the young generation. I give praise for the old generation. But generation, let's not complain about what God's doing in 2026. Let's have church. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Haggai 2 and 6, God reminds them he's still in control regardless of how they look. Amen? Looks like evil is out of control. Looks like the devil has having his day. But God is still on the throne. Say that with me. God is still on the throne. Amen? Some are concerned about the expense of the project. Others concerned that the new temple lacked the gold and the glitz and as the first temple. But God reminded them, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, not yours, but in the glory of Christ. So we can live our lives without looking back. You can live your life longing for what others have and miss it or seize the moment. Amen? As I come to the music, seize the moment. Bible says they were laid the foundation. They were rejoicing. And the Bible said the older people were weeping because it didn't look like the first tabernacle. It didn't look like what it did first. But the young people were rejoicing because they were in bondage for 70 years. Total bondage. No altars. You read Ezra chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. The first thing they did, they built an altar. Laid sacrifices on it. And God moved. You see, we got it all wrong. We build magnificent buildings, but no altars. I give God praise for the altars in this church. You have altar services. I know you do. But you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how many in our denomination now don't even open the altars for people to pray. I'm talking about the Church of God. Traveling around for 3 years now full time, after pastoring 40 years, I see broken church people, sad, hurting, lonely, not responding in altars, not praying. What is it all about? You see, if my generation don't move forward to show this younger generation that he's still God, it's very important for us not to give up what we know. Would you stand tonight? Thank you, Lord. He said it's not wise. He said it's not wise to sit and think about in the past and yesterday. And it's not wise to criticize today. The Bible said here in the word of the Lord that God said, I'm still God. I'm still Lord.
Lord, I feel your presence in this house. And what God's looking for is hungry people. Hungry people. Little church in the holler where Brother Hobbs preached for my mom and dad worked so many years. I see some of the worst people that nobody would ever want to come in that church. Mom and dad would pack up chairs and go to Lebanon, Kentucky, gravel switch. Go in people's yards and preach Jesus to them. And God would bring them broken lives to the church, and that's how they built the church. Growing up, Brother Hobbs, I thought that was the biggest church in the Church of God. I only had 8 pews in it. But they were jam-packed inside and outside, and every room and every holler, and chairs outside. But there was something about it. But I'm glad tonight that I won't have to go back in the 60s and 70s and live in those days. I'm glad that God's still real tonight. He's not changed. He's just looking for somebody to say this: Jesus, thou son of David, help me. He's just looking for a little woman in the house who's about to die, pressed her way through the crowd and said, if I could just but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. He's just looking for somebody to climb a tree like Zacchaeus. I got to see him today. I got to see him. And Jesus reached out to him. He's just trying to find somebody that's got a withered hand. You see, look at this. We're like this in the church today. Pastor, Jesus didn't tell the man which hand to raise. He said, raise your hand. He didn't say raise your left hand. Jesus didn't say raise your right hand. He said raise your hand. Now, the man could have raised his good hand like a lot of church people. I'm okay. I'm all right. No, that ain't the hand Jesus wants raised. Oh, I feel this right here. But he raised a hand that he didn't want nobody to see. He raised a hand. He used to be a mason, some of the history tells us, but he got injured, crippled, could lay brick. But now his hand's all crippled. Jesus says, stretch forth your hand. Didn't say right or left. He said, just stretch your hand. And he stretched forth that withered hand, and Jesus made him whole. God don't want to see your healthy hands. He wants to see what's broke. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. And while we can sit around and say, I don't like them old folks. And young folks can sit around, old folks can say, I don't like them young folks. Let's seize the moment and say, God, it's 2026. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. There was an old man. I don't know how old he was. But he had his eyes taken out. Punished. Samson was his name. They cut his hair off, but they couldn't pull the roots out of his head. His hair started to grow again. He said, God, one more time. Avenge. Help me one more time. And blind and old. Come here, young man. blind and old. Samson got a hold of a young man. He said, listen, son, take me to the pillars. Put my left hand on one side and right hand on the other. Here's the point. An old blind man of God needed a young generation to get him to where he needed to be. And I'm not old, but I'm older than this young man. I need his energy spiritually. I need his vision. I need his synergy. I need his boldness. I need his dream. When I can connect with a young man, I know I'm going to be all right. Heavenly Father, I believe tonight, Lord, in this service, you want to touch some people. And I'm asking tonight, God, that you'll just, you're touching us, Lord, but this altar service, God, breathe upon the young generation. And God, touch the older generation. Let there not be weeping. Lord, we want to weep because of sin. We want to weep because of moral decadence in our country. But Lord, it's not your will we weep because things ain't the same way it was. It's your will, God, for us to get a hold of the vision, get a hold of the purpose, God. In the name of Jesus, if I could have every young person not come stand in this altar, would you come? Just come and stand in this altar. Every young person, 25-year-old down, just come and stand. Come on. Hallelujah. You see, this is God's, this is not the church of tomorrow. It's the church of right now. It's a church of right now. God has his hands from the youngest to the oldest. Sister Diane, I'm glad that I don't have to sing Father Abraham no more. That song wore me out. That's a song that would get your heart racing, blood pumping, and head up, head down. Y'all ever sing that? Don't. No, it's a good song. It's a good song. But I wasn't raised up with Father Abraham song. I was raised up with this little light of mine. I ain't gonna let Satan blow it out, set it on attack. But one thing about it, whether it's Father Abraham or the new songs these young people sing, God's not changed a bit. As long as it's worship and praise. Now, everybody else is a sanctuary. Middle age, would you come right now? 25 up to 55. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Hobbs, heaven's going to be so good. I mean, if you don't like church, you ain't going to go to heaven. Church is all going to be all about, heaven's going to be all about church. Now, do we have a generation that's my age and older that wants to come up here and say, God, touch us again? Would you move this way? I'm going to ask Pastor Hobbs to come down. I feel like praying for these young people. I'm going to ask this generation to come. I want you to come to this altar, and as they start worshiping, I want you to say, God, touch us again.
Touch us again. Touch us again. If you want to pray for some young people, go right ahead. I'm going to pray with them. As they minister in song, we're going to pray.